Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of Comics, and we'll go right into it. My name is Luis, and with me today is...
Ash. Hi, I'm Andres.
And we are three-fifths of what we normally have, one on vacation, the other one doing adult things. So, but yeah, we're going to get right into the episode. Every week, we like to, aside from talk nerddom, we also like to give you some pointers on what alcohol we're drinking, whether it be what types of different beers or hard liquors, just to kind of, aside from expanding your nerd knowledge, to expand your alcoholic palate. Speaking of which, Ash has a tasting beverage for us today.
Let me expand your palate. That's just gross. Anyway, I have vanilla porter today by Breckenridge Brewery. I got it from Albertsons. It's pretty good. It's pretty good. It's not something I could down like a lighter beer, but more like a something you hold on to nurse throughout the whole, you know. But you don't slam these down. But I'm pretty picky with beer, but this is pretty okay. It's with notes of vanilla.
Do you taste it, or are you saying that just because of the bottle?
It just says with notes of vanilla.
Yeah, he's asking if you actually taste the vanilla, or is it just...
It kind of tastes like prunes.
Prunes? That's interesting.
Yeah. So if we highlight this show, I hope we don't tag that. It's
prunes.
It kind of tastes like prunes, but hopefully it doesn't have the effect of prunes. But it's good. It's good.
Shit yourself, son. Cool. Thank you, sir. All right, and so moving right over to our comments. So every week we like to highlight you guys, anybody listening to the show that wants to add their 2 cents to any variety of things that we talk about, or if you have a topic for us to discuss and you want to throw that in, or you disagree with one of us on something that we said, this is your opportunity to be heard right at the beginning of the podcast. And if you wanted to tune out afterwards, you can. So we welcome all comments, all the hate, to be directed towards that guy. So moving on to comment number one. Comment number one was on the message on the corner of Ash and Ridiculousness, the Ridiculous in the Comics After Party, which was a little special episode that Ash hosted with some of the listeners. And one of those people being Zach that commented on it, actually. He said, I fucking love this. Ash, thank you for letting me partake, and I can't wait for the next one. Check you later. But he probably said, check you later, and he did the little peace sign. We love you, Zach, and thank you for being a part of the Comics Army. Moving on to episode 74. Episode 74, we have a first-time commenter is Chuck Up, and his comment reads, truthfully, I've listened through roughly a dozen of your podcasts, but the pizza back and forth was prime. The frosting on your ha 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 cake. And so that's not on episode 74. The comment was on episode 74, but the pizza thing, that was a while ago, wasn't it? Wasn't that like 10 episodes ago? Because me and Andres were talking about...
But I was like, right when you had said the pizza thing, I was like, that was a while ago.
Yeah, that was Fourth Horseman. I was talking about Fourth Horseman. It used to be a brewery, and then we were having that discussion, and we were talking about our favorite pizza spots. Do you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I remember.
No, did you see Ash's eyes, like all that glazed look? Is like, I think I was drunk that day.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah, it was about 5-ish episodes ago. But thank you, Chuck Up, for listening, and if you're listening to this, Chuck Up, what's your favorite pizza spot? Let us know. And anyone else listening, let us know. All right, moving on. This is on episode 74 as well, and this is from Heavyweight, fan favorite of the podcast. His first comment is, I picture Carmen riding her bike like Norbit. To put this into context, for you, Andres, is Carmen admitted to us that she can't ride a bike.
Right.
And that I was drinking too. There was a challenge of sorts where Ash said, I would do this if Carmen can't ride a bike. I think it was it hot sauce that you were going to like ingest something. It was either the hot sauce or the make you puke alcohol. One of those two. It's like, if Carmen has a full day, we'll make an episode. Like, we'll make the way we were pitching is that it would be content. And she's
comics teaches Carmen how to ride a bike.
Yeah. Like, it's like, we were saying like comics goes to the park. Like, and then she's like trying to ride a bike. And then, so Heavyweight's commenting that he pictures Carmen riding her bike, like Norbit, which I would imagine. I've never seen the movie, but I can
Norman, imagine.
Like Norbit. Norbit, the Norbit. Eddie Murphy. So, but yeah, so that was definitely discussed. And then goes on to saying, when Esteban asked Luis if he can do any tricks, I just knew he was going to respond, I thought you would never ask, and pull out an acoustic guitar and start playing La Bamba. So the context to this, we were a little light on things to talk about. And so Esteban had a deck of cards that was said, what the fuck, on the cards. And it draws a random card. And he was asked, like, we would discuss a nerd topic. Then he would pull the card and we would discuss the thing. And so for me, the question I got was, can you do any tricks with your tongue? I'm like, the fuck are you talking about? And then we went into vaginal activities of my tricks, and then it turned into a thing.
Oh, it went to a whole fucking.
It was a little bit of a thing. So,
that was a good show.
Yeah, no. The short answer is I don't have any tricks. I have no tricks.
I'm sorry, Dana.
I have no tricks. Just disappointment.
The trick is you still have a girlfriend.
turns out they girls like it when you have good credit. So and then the last piece of that comment is one of the other questions that was in the what the fuck card was, what is the weirdest username, Wi-Fi username that you've ever seen?
All right.
When you searched. And so Heavyweight's responding to that. After my divorce from a company that shall remain nameless, I worked for a well-known cable company and they showed us an apartment complex Wi-Fi username. The username was the first 3 to 5 bars of the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. Oh, that's fucking cool.
That is a long ass title for a
Oh, okay. Like the whole thing.
So this is a story, huh? Yeah. No shit. That's pretty actually. How cool would it be if, like, when you do the search, and I mean, it would depend on how far you are from them. But if like the neighbors were all cool and they all just kind of added on to the lyrics, this is a story, you know?
Yeah.
How about boom, boom, boom. What about you, Andres? What is the weirdest name you've had? Do you ever do any weird names, or is yours like Verizon? No,
I usually just keep whatever it is out of the box.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I do the same.
Sorry. I don't have a personality.
All right. And that being said, that is the last of the comments of our YouTubes. Thank you everybody for commenting. We appreciate all of you, except you, but everybody else. Moving on. I wanted to get into a couple conversations. The first one, I'm very curious of your thought process on Andres. Amazon bought MGM. What does that mean? What does that mean for us?
I don't know. It's kind of, I'm of two minds and mostly leaning towards it not being good, because it eliminates, I don't know, like establishing big monopolies between a couple of companies is not good, because there isn't many other like distributors that are going to put out movies. So if it isn't going to be a like mega box office hit, like what's the chance they're going to take a risk on a small like indie movie that isn't going to make like fucking Amazon bank? So that's kind of concerning to me. Also, however anyone feels about Amazon, I am not like the biggest Jeff Bezos fan. So there's that. And then but it's also cool to have a bunch of like movies that you like and want to see on like one place. So that's kind of where the conflict lies with me.
Got it. That makes a lot of sense. Like, I guess it's just crazy. It feels like this is the new, and I know this term has been thrown around a lot, but it's like a new normal. Like the video game industry, it's what's happening with it. For those that don't know too much about video games, like Microsoft started the fight. They bought Bethesda, which was huge. Well, I used to think it was Microsoft, but even before that, they don't have an exclusivity deal with Capcom. But PlayStation had exclusivity rights with Street Fighter, which was first, and it was like a big outrage. And then years later, we see Bethesda get bought out, and then we see a constant back and forth, and it's just becoming a thing. And it's exactly like what Andres is saying. It's like, it just seems it's going to be under these two powerhouses. Ash, what is your thought process on it?
I think it's kind of a good thing. I mean, fuck, bro. Have you, in any of our recommendations, have we ever said, you'll find that on Amazon Prime? We've said Netflix, we've said Hulu, we've said Paramount Plus. We have not said anything on, so maybe they'll have exclusive access to MGM movies whenever they can, like Netflix. Like once their contract's up, they can start pulling everything towards them. There's a TikTok I saw where it was called Velocipastor. And
I saw the trailer to that.
Yeah, and in lieu of the, so I guess his parents die, so he sees his parents, and then all of a sudden it goes back to the pastor, and when it goes back to the parents, it says the text, car is on fire. It doesn't show that they died in a fire. It says in text, car is on fire. And it's just a blank canvas screen. Like there's a car, they move the car out of the scene, and now it says text, car on fire, and cuts back to him and he's crying. And I was like, they need shit. They need shit for this. Like,
yeah.
It's not, the only thing I've seen even remotely talked about was the Being the Ricardos on Amazon, but other than that, like, I've seen
The Boys
I don't want to say throwaway 70s, like,
yeah,
almost like nostalgic 70s, like
The Boys is there.
What?
The Boys,
the, oh yeah, The Boys is there.
Their own stuff,
you know what you're gonna go to Disney Plus for, you know what you're gonna go Hulu for, even like with their shows. I don't know what I would go to Amazon for other than The Boys. Oh, and
Is it Handmaid's Tales, them too, isn't it?
No, that's Hulu.
Invincible. But other than that, I don't really, not Netflix, where it's like, you know, they have
Man in the Hightower. Was that them?
Yes, it was. Yeah.
Man in the Hightower is good.
Never saw that.
I would recommend that. And if you want kind of an offbeat comedy, Mozart in the Jungle is pretty good. There's a couple seasons of that. And I'm pretty sure that's Amazon.
Sorry for
bringing the show to a halt.
No. You still, like, there was I Love Lucy. There's, like, a bunch of, like, nostalgic things. But other than that, I don't. Oh, Three Stooges. But other than that, I don't see a lot. There's nothing that brings me to Amazon. So maybe this buy would do that.
Okay. Well, I'm hoping. You're still hoping. And just to fill in the people that are listening and not seeing, Carmen was able to join us, and she's here with us now. And I'm curious. I'm curious.
Are you drinking water because you drank?
No, I literally just got home. So I was like, let me drink some water. I was thirsty.
Is that okay?
Yeah. No, because she sat down and then she was like, so I thought she was burping. So I was all like that, and she waved, and I was like, oh, maybe she's drunk.
No, she's just friendly. She's just happy to be here.
Seriously.
We were just talking about Amazon buying MGM and what we thought that would mean to the industry. And kind of want to throw that your way. First, what are your thoughts on it? And do you feel that that's a a trend that we're going to start seeing in the industry?
I'll answer your second question first. I think it is going to be a trend that we start seeing. However, I wonder how it's going to play out, right? Because then we'll have like monopolies created, right? Then it's going to be like either Amazon Prime or like HBO already like working with certain studios. And then there's not really like a crossover. So then I don't know how that's going to play out in the end, right? Because then it's like, we're not going to sign up for all the services, and then they're going to buy the smaller ones out, like Paramount Plus, right? Or like maybe Peacock at some point, even though they're like for different genres. But I feel that perhaps that will happen just to get more market share. And then as far as what you guys were discussing earlier, the tad bit I did listen to, I mean, they have some good shows, but not a lot of well-known shows on Amazon Prime. So this will definitely be a great ad for them. Besides some of the ones that you guys mentioned, obviously Invincible. I really like The Marvelous Miss Maisel. It's a comedy. It's really, really good. Cute. Yeah, they have this other one called Modern Love, I believe, and it's kind of like an episode. It's different every episode, but it's always like the love theme. It's pretty great. And then there's this other one called Solos, which I couldn't get into at first because it's like anthologies every episode, but they're pretty, it kind of gives me the vibe of like Black Mirror type of thing, where like you really don't know what's going on, but then like through the episode you kind of like you're taken on this journey, right? And so like I gave it a chance and I quite enjoy it. So if you guys want to check it out, it's Solos on Amazon Prime. That was another good one that I found there. But I'm sure that this purchase is going to give them a lot more to work with. And I mean, I can't wait till we, like you were saying, Ash, I think earlier, you know, like we never really highlight a lot of the shows on Amazon Prime. And so maybe this is going to be good for them to get more viewers. And I mean, a lot of people have Amazon Prime service. So this is just an extension added to them to be able to watch it. Although you do have to pay for some things, but I mean, overall the selection is quite great.
Yeah, it's pretty expensive.
Two things. Right. Sorry. It is cool that they bought the MGM Studios, because if anything, let's just say Teen Wolf, like they did with Teen Wolf, maybe they could buy that and then they could do like a prequel, or they could do like little things based off of MGM movies. They could do whatever. Like when Disney bought Star Wars?
Wasn't there a Teen Wolf show on MTV? Like recently?
No, I'm just giving that as an example. No, there was a Teen Wolf show, but I'm saying like, just giving an example, like over the top thing. Like maybe they could show like the beginning years of fucking Stallone. But you know what I mean? Like maybe they could do shows based on those movies. Yeah. And then secondly, meaning that you mentioned all those shows, Carmen, what does it take for you guys to like give a show a shot, like on your own? Like I won't really invest until it's like, hey, that's your recommendation, or like, look how long it took me for Not Satisfied. What am I thinking of?
Succession.
Like, you know what I mean? It took like a season of you talking about it for me to even give it a chance.
Well, samesies.
But like, even if it's in the top 10 of Netflix, like if there's nobody I don't know, I won't give it a shot.
Well, top 10 on Netflix is a pretty strong indicator for me. Like if it's top 10 on two different you know, when you kind of hover over the square, it'll start playing the trailer automatically. That's a very, that's wonderful for the marketing department, because I probably never would have clicked it to hit play trailer. The fact that it just starts to play, sometimes it'll captivate me in the first 5 seconds and I'll be like, what? And then I'll just like, let it keep doing its thing. And then I'll be like, okay, maybe. And then like, that's how I came across Squid Game. Like the moment it was a subtitle situation, my girlfriend's out. She's like, no, we're not watching that. But then you see them play. It's the fucking red light, green light was the first, like that was the trailer or whatever. And so you see them getting shot and it's like, holy shit, like, we need to watch this. And we put it undubbed, even though the lips were off. Whatever. That was my story. But
still only three episodes in, but yeah, I still need to.
You never finished Squid Game.
No, but
I Instagram. I very much enjoyed it.
Season two, and I'm all fuck because they're showing shit or whatever.
I mean, I would have been okay with them just ending it, but considering how huge it was in so many countries, I'm like, yeah, it makes sense that.
Plus, that guy, the main guy, is being already looked at for projects over here.
Oh, no shit. But yeah, to answer your question, I mean, if I see a good trailer, then I love you, Mama, but not now. But.
It'd be funny if you picked up Dana and just put it over there.
Yeah, I'm like, no. Right. like Netflix is probably the easiest one where I'll just kind of fall into. Hulu takes a little bit for me.
Yeah.
Although I am watching a show right now because I like who is in it. Life and Beth, Amy Schumer's show on Hulu.
Oh yeah, I started watching that too.
Amy Schumer? Did you? Say that
Amy
again.
Amy Schumer and. Michael Cera
is, I mean, love interest. He's not like a main character or anything. It really is just about Schumer. But
he's on the poster, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of hers. And because she's a New York comic, there's a lot of cameos, but it's a lot of New York comics. And it's like, oh, that's so-and-so. Oh, and it's like little small roles. Like one of the first episodes you see Dave Attell?
Oh, I love Dave Attell. And yeah. He did Trainwreck too with her.
Oh, he is?
Yeah.
Did I finish Trainwreck?
I saw up to whatever, the romantic comedy drama, like where they
I feel pretty
about to whatever, and then I was like, oh, okay, and then I paused it.
Oh, gotcha.
But yeah. Dave Attell is the homeless guy with the sign that welcomes her every
day. I did see this. Yes. But yeah, so it's a bunch of New York comics, which made me...
I love Dave Attell.
Made me giggle. Same. Andres, what was the last show you saw that was of no influence to anyone in your show or movie, and you're just like, I'm gonna check this out. I'm gonna give it a shot.
So I tend to do that a lot. Where if the trailer catches me, yeah. But if there's sometimes like if you're especially like on Shudder where it's you're going Ooh. And you're coming across movies that you didn't come out in the theater. Or you don't know much about it, so it's like, okay, this is a genre that's going to bring me in. And then it's also you're reading a little description of it if it doesn't, because some of them don't have trailers, so I'm going into it just reading a description and I'm like, okay, this could be. So I don't care if a movie is not an American movie, if it's the subtitles or dubbed, I'm down. That's not a deterrent for me at all. So it's just, okay, does this sound good? Does the cover art look okay? And then okay, I'm like down. So it's usually and it's me and my wife that usually watching stuff together. So it's like it's got to pass both of ours.
Yeah.
Where it's like if I'm into something and it just sounds like whatever, it's like okay, I'm gonna move on. Let's find something else.
Yeah.
So yeah, we tend to do that a lot.
Does she dig horror films as you do?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's cool,
dude. That is fucking cool.
Does so she prefer them more than you, or does she deal with it for you, or she likes them?
She likes them on her own. Like she would actually go to, I forget the name of the con, but there's like horror cons. Yeah.
Horror con.
Yeah.
The one over here
in Pasadena.
Pasadena.
That's the one where she likes to go. So yeah, it works out.
I went there. So the old, vocalist guitarist of my old band Eternalize, shout out to Miguel. He's a very quiet man. The only time I have ever seen him like wet his pants was it was an actor from Night of the Living Dead 2.
Okay. Yeah.
And like he was standing in front of the cutout of what he looked like when he was young, and he's all like ripped, and it's just like an old man. And he was so fucking nervous to just go talk to him. Like, you were going to have to pay $15 for the picture and get it autographed. But, like, he was just so nervous. Like, that was his fucking legend, you know? It was just like, oh, my God, Not a Living Dead. Dude, Not a Living Dead. I'm like, there's no line. Like, go over there and buy your fucking $15 thing. But, like, I don't know. It's a horror just brings a certain level of excitement to people. And it's a beautiful thing. That is very interestingly like supportive of an art form to be like, oh, I'm into the genre, I'm gonna give it a shot. Because especially jumping in blind like that, like, oh man, that's rough. Like,
yeah, I never on that, there's like a lot of hidden gems where you're like, I've never heard shit about this movie.
Yeah.
And I really enjoyed it. And it's so on that, it's not saying that horror is below like any other movie for me, but you put up like you're going into it understanding that there's something coming out of this movie. So like if you have to lower your standards, I'm not comparing it to like fucking some classical movie that I love that's a fucking film. I'm gonna go see horror because there's certain elements that I like of it.
Yeah.
So yeah, it may not be a great movie in general, but it's a good horror story. So with that, I could pretty much watch everything. If it's fucking stupid, then I'll stop.
Gotcha.
So but most of the movies that I okay, so we had just finished this week one movie on Shudder. Fuck, I can't think of the name. That was interesting, that had good stuff to it that we actually really enjoyed. But if I was to like nitpick stuff on it, I would drop down the grade of it just because like certain things were missing.
You have but to enjoy it for what it is.
Yeah, exactly. That is the perfect way of putting it. And yes, certain horror movies can elevate themselves out of that category. And others aren't, and that's fine. You just keep them and you enjoy it for what it is.
I dig it. I dig that a lot. Yeah, I never would have seen, what was the movie I saw? I would never have seen Babadook if it wasn't because I saw it on like a top 10 scariest films of all time. And I don't think it was, but it's a good movie. I never would have seen it because it's a foreign film for one. And the cover art, it looked like what's Where the Wild Things Are. I'm like, I'm good. Like, none of this intrigues me, but it ended up being like a good story. So the idea that you're able to do that is commendable.
Thank you.
Carmen, what's the last thing that you jumped in with no influence of outside sources? You just either saw a trailer or you just were going through scrolling on some streaming platform and be like, that one, I'm gonna watch that.
I think it was The Gilded Age on HBO Max. It's a period piece. And they really, like, anything that is period is going to catch my eye anyway. There's a soft spot in my heart for those types of films or shows. And I started watching it and I actually really like it. So I think that's the one that just recently was up for me.
I dig it. I know you said you don't do that, Ash. Is there one that you can remember in recent memory that you've... the last time I did it was blank.
The Umbrella Academy.
Oh, you jumped on before the hype started.
No influence. There was no... it was right after I finished Gotham. I had nothing. And it was like... I just still felt more... and then knowing that My Chemical Romance guy did it, it was kind of like... I kind of went in like... Like, I went with Robert Pattinson, like, okay, let's see what you got. Like, and then it was like, oh, like, I love this.
Yeah.
And then there was characters I fucking absolutely fell in love with. And now it's like, not Pattinson, like, well, I shouldn't say that because we always go into that. I went in with Pattinson a little lighter because of Ben Affleck kind of lightened me up to all that stuff. But either way, I kind of went in like, all right, let's kind of see. And it's kind of funny because, like, that's how they dressed in one of their videos, right? The little school outfit things. Anyway, but yeah, Umbrella Academy, probably that. What did interest me was that movie. I don't know if this is the premise, but Ryan Reynolds has to save his younger self.
I saw that.
The Alex Project or...
Yeah, the Alex
Project. I do want to see that, and that was...
Adam Project.
As you said, like, I was finished Seinfeld for the 85th time, and you know how then you might like, and the trailer started to play, just because I put the controller down, and it's the part, I guess, they're escaping in a truck. And I was like, huh, I might like this. Like, they know how to put, like, this might interest somebody. But then again, some of those trailers are like, so what do you think about Bob? I don't know. He's just too, and then you're not like, what? No, I'm out.
It depends on what you're in the mood for, though, too. You know, like, if, like, Dana, she's all about the Hallmark movies. Like, she loves, like, the cheesier, the better. Like, there's like the Beauty and the Baker. She saw this other one, something river. I don't know. There's another one of like a romantic something weird, and she does ice skating and she
loves. I have a question. So when it's like the Christmas releases, is she like losing her mind?
Jizzing herself. Yeah. But she's sweet enough to know, she knows they're awful, but like she'll still cry. Like I'll step into the room and like she's crying, she's got like tissue, like, and she'll look at me, she's like, I know, whatever, like, but she owns it. Like, but because she knows that it's ridiculous, she doesn't make me watch it. Thank goodness. Like, I tried. I'm like, I'm gonna be fucking boyfriend of the year, and dude, those movies are rough. So yeah, I couldn't do that. But
I, guilty pleasure, I like romantic comedies in that the guy that's not supposed to be the leading man, like a fucking like Paul Rudd is the main.
Those don't count though. Those are more comedy than like.
Yeah, like it was like that, but like when it's like, I got no one for Christmas, and then it, oh fuck you.
That
like,
is
those kind of movies.
They're so obnoxious. Like, and those are the films that like she likes, and she's like, oh yeah, this is my shit. And like she'll see a trailer to something, and I know it's a puppy.
Yeah. Some John Mayer song comes on. It's like, come on. Homie.
Like she, it's usually like she's all mad, and then she inherited this beautiful house in the middle of nowhere. And then she's like, I hate everybody. I'm going to be single for life. Oh, we got to call the plumber. Fine, call the plumber. And it's like this dude with like a six pack.
Right.
Like, he's like the hottest dude. He's like, I've been single forever. And here's a dog. Like, and it's like, bro.
I'm too busy at my business. And I'm trying to be the fucking partner of this law firm. And blah, 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 blah. Like, this little girl walks in and then the dad comes. Oh, Jesus.
Yeah. Well, we know the formula. Yeah.
Right. Yeah, absolutely. It's like, oh, shit. And it's the same movie every. And to be fair, a lot of people that see superhero movies, it's the same formula. It's a
similar formula. Yeah.
You're either bit by a spider, you went through some trauma, like you fucking landed in a pit of fucking gamma, whatever it is. To them, it's all the same, but there's little niches. For us, like, no, they're all different, but they're all the same. But
yeah,
as long as you do it right, you're awesome.
Yeah. True. All right, move into.
Fuck, did we run that
line? Ooh, this one. I'm going to throw this one to you, Carmen, first. Cal Kestis lightsaber on sale at Galaxy's Edge. What are your thoughts?
Oh, that guy. That's amazing news, because that means that we'll probably get him on one of the shows, and which I think maybe Kenobi, but if not, perhaps Ahsoka. I think
In live action. I initially thought Ahsoka also.
Yeah.
But and here's one thing I'll say, and I'll let you finish your piece. A buddy of mine, Reese, sent me like a still of the trailer in Obi-Wan, and there's like an underwater bunker that is in the video game, and so it's possible that that's a connection, that he comes across another Jedi, which would
That's what also I have seen people talk about. That's why I was like, okay, we'll definitely get a live action version of the character, which I'm excited about, because all I know from the character is like what I've read since I didn't play the game, right? And so like what friends have told me about the game and like how it goes, so I'm excited for it. But I hope it is true. And I mean, if they have the lightsaber already, I think that's a good sign. Because it's like they're getting ready for the sale.
Yeah. Andres, your thoughts?
The lightsaber looked really dope. Is that is the one that you guys posted with the camera Monahan with it?
Yes.
Sorry, I saw Ash pointing at me and I got scared.
Right next to you. Your wallet's nowhere near me.
But yeah, it looked really dope. So I do love how it had kind of like the old original styling to it.
One thing that you haven't really been playing video games because your family man now, right? No time. Let me fill you in on something. As a fan of horror films, I'm going to paint the picture for all the Star Wars fans listening and everyone on this podcast. He was one of the young, you know the concept. He was one of the younglings that survived Order 66.
Order 66.
Yeah.
And so when Anakin slaughtered all the younglings, yeah, he was hiding among the bodies. And then he blocked it out of his head, though. And so then he ends up, being taken by someone. And
kind of like Grogu.
I wonder if they know each other.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Yeah, because they age differently. Possible. So,
So Anakin didn't sense him hiding?
Supposedly not. Okay. Because according to this, it's like he was so much of a rookie in the Force, he was learning the ways of it. And so it didn't manifest in him really until later. So he knows the basics. He knows how to do things, but we're talking amateur hour. So as you're playing the game, you're a dude that has a saber and he has basic abilities. And as you progress in the game, you get a little better at force pull, force push, little things like that. Right. Once you get to the end of the game, the game throughout the game, you're fighting help me out, Carmen, the something sisters,
the sister, I'm picturing them. They're they have red outfits. Yeah,
they have red.
Yeah. God.
They're dressed kind of like Siths, but
yeah.
They're
from Mustafar.
Yes, they are. So those are essentially his villains. And so and the game gets exceptionally hard. Anyway, you win. The game's over. And you're like, oh, great. I can sort of do a force pull, because you're such an amateur. Vader pops in the last chunk, we'll call it the last 15, 20 minutes of it. And he shows you just how powerless you are against an actual Jedi. The last part of the game is a sequence where you're fleeing from Vader and he's walking towards you like Jason Voorhees, and you're throwing everything you can at him, and he's just knocking it out of the way, just doors close, and you see the red saber just starting to burn through, and you have limited amount of time to do a puzzle, to open a door, to get to the next room. You felt so powerless. And I just thought it was such a it was done so beautifully, the way that that game developer did it, of oh yeah, you know how you were doing all this stuff and you think you're cool shit? You're nothing. This being is so high above that. And it just, I think, portrayed it so well. It got me super excited. So the idea of him being canon, if he does talk to Obi-Wan, is he able to channel? Can he learn how to force better? Or is it with Ahsoka and she's oh, I thought I was the last Jedi, whatever, possibilities are there. Yes, sir.
Do you think in Kenobi that, how we finally saw Luke be fucking Luke and start fucking shit up? Yep. Do you think we're going to see a more agile Vader, or do you think he's going to be is he think he's still going to be all?
I hope we'll see a more agile. I think I'm going to answer this really well. Yes. Yes, I do.
It would be kind of cool to see the same Vader in the video games. Maybe not be super fast like a Jedi, but little cool shit using the lightning and the lightsaber, or you know what I mean?
Well, in Vader Down, the comic book arc, anybody here read that? Vader Down? Mm-mm. I mean, the Star Wars comics, I haven't read them all, but Vader Down is so amazing. It's a strong recommendation. It shows his level of power to the Force, and it's amazing. There's a particular scene where an X-Wing comes up to him and is gonna fucking blast him, and he crushes it. It's just bad. And so Vader Down is when after the events of A New Hope, where Vader is down, he's on this planet, and so then bounty hunters and rebel assassins are trying to take him out. And so they're all fucking going after him, and he's just fucking destroying. Like, it is badass. I strongly recommend it. Strongly recommend
it. We'll get something similar, you know, like...
That's what I'm hoping. Like, if we were to see something, I mean, it wouldn't be in Kenobi, but, like, if we were to see, like, a variation of that, of, like, how much of a threat he is and how powerful he is. Like, what was the Rogue One? Like, you felt the fear in that final scene.
Yeah.
And when he gets on the ship or whatever.
Christian Hayden said something like, you're going to see, like, a devastating Vader, right? Like, he said something like that.
Please.
You're going to see, like, some crazy shit.
Please.
And it was the Night Sisters. That's what they're called.
Thank you.
The Night Sisters?
You fight them bitches.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Night Sisters?
Yes, the Night Sisters.
That sounds like a 50s pop band. Like, ladies and gentlemen, the Night Sisters.
They're pretty tough.
Except with lifesavers and super badass.
Good work.
Again. Right. And then we're moving to... Oh. So the only reason I'm bringing this up, because this is a rumor, but it ties into something else. Pablo Schreiber, the mustache guard from Orange is the New Black,
yes.
He is in talks to play Wolverine in Marvel Universe. Normally, I don't really care to talk about this sort of stuff, but what I will say is on March 24th, the Halo series premiered. And so episode one shows, and he unmasks himself, and it's Pablo Schreiber. And wait, I don't hate
already
it.
Out? Halo's already out?
Yeah, yes. It's just
episode one is.
And that's on what?
Paramount Plus.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
We'll talk.
I was going to watch today, but I'll wait till tomorrow.
But I saw the first episode. I'm sold. I'm happy. They took some liberties from the away from the games, which I expected. But it How's is
the
it,
world look. The Halo
looks,
world.
It looks good. It's a little You can see the CGI stuff, but the action is so gritty that it's like, how do I phrase it? If it was a movie, it's definitely rated R. Like when the Covenant first make contact and they get shot with a plasma bolt, like limbs are falling off. Like someone's head explodes, blood splats on someone, and then another person gets shot and you see their leg just like ricochet off onto the... I'm like, oh my God, like they're just getting destroyed. And then, but when it goes up close to the aliens, like you can see the CGI. And if you're a CGI whore, like it'll take you out of it. So I haven't looked it up what people are saying about it, but I can already feel the people that want to hate on it, you'll be like, looks like PlayStation graphics or like some whatever. Like you can, so yeah, like it's not Marvel quality CGI, but it is still good. It's also not like basic TV CGI.
Damn, so they revealed the helmet. They revealed the guy right from the beginning, huh?
It was towards the end of the episode, but yeah. But again, it didn't take me out of it. Yeah. Like, I was digging the voice. It's not the same voice actor, so I was digging the voice of it. I'm like, okay, like, I'm just allowing, I'm along for the ride. But when he took off his helmet, it felt very Mandalorian. When Mandalorian first takes off his helmet, where you're just kind of like, I was kind of hoping you'd never take it off, but I don't hate it. Am I the only one that felt that way?
In the video game, I haven't seen his face in part four or something, or
no, they never show his face. So they had announced that they were going to show his face, and of course, the fans were all outraged about it. But the director was like, we need to progress the story. If you're telling a cinematic adventure and I need you to care about this character, that's the only way we can. This will work in my narrative, because they were like, oh, don't do it. Like, you're going to ruin the character.
And it's at the end of the season and for a reason. Yeah. Anyway,
I didn't hate the decision. I thought it was good. But him as an actor, like, I know he was in that movie 13 Hours and got fucking ripped for that movie, too. But as far as I can tell, motherfucker's still in good shape. He's just taller than what Logan would be.
That's exactly what I was waiting to bring up. That he's, again, they cast like another 6 foot dude to play fucking 5'2 Wolverine.
He's supposed to be a little badgery. Badgery.
Yeah.
But so. Yeah. No, he's fucking tall, right? He probably is 6'2. How tall was Hugh Jackman?
I don't know, but when they were starting that, like, Daniel Radcliffe wants to play him, and I was kind of like, we're good. Maybe Nightcrawler.
Oh shit, Hugh Jackman's 6'3".
Yeah, I was gonna say right. Hugh Jackman's big.
Good call. He's a big dude. But yeah,
he's so. Pretty on par. Like when they do pictures with Ryan Reynolds, he's pretty like with him. Good talk.
Yeah, I mean, Ryan Reynolds, I guess, is probably tall too.
Pretty sure. Right. He's,
yeah.
Oh yeah, she's all about it. Look at it.
Because she can't confirm nor deny, but, she, but she's confirming. Oh, it's so cool. Okay, so moving on. Halo show. I know you were not a big video game person. Was that show on your radar at all, Carmen? Having Pablo Schreiber in it interest you at all?
No, but I know you guys have talked about it. So if we at some point were going to talk about it, I would watch it. And it's not something that I would say like, oh, I wouldn't watch it because I'm not interested in video games or nor I ever played video games. I mean, it's a show, and if it's worth watching, I'll watch it. I see you thinking, what is that?
I almost messaged you when I was watching it because it reminded me of Bad Batch.
Oh, no way.
I don't want to give anything away of the first episode, but the storyline looked like it's going in that direction, which I'm very okay with. Like,
and you said it's on Paramount Plus?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, especially when you're seeing the team work together, like they early on in the thing, they do a really good job of like, here's the world we're in and time for some action. We're going to show you how serious we are about it. So we're going to blow off limbs to show you how devastating these creatures are. And then limbs.
Is it humans and aliens, or is it just aliens being slaughtered?
No, humans and aliens. The limbs are of humans. They show children being murdered. Like, it's, yeah. Like, I'm like, oh, this is rated R. Like, so. they're not like fucking, yeah. You know, but it's like they open a canister of like refugees. It's a bunch of kids and it's like an alien. He's like, ah, fuck you all. Like, it's just like, Jesus Christ. Yeah. So it's pretty gnarly. Like, yeah. But the way that the Spartans work together. Okay. The way the Spartans work together is very, very Bad Batch.
You get a plasma sword in the first episode. Mm-hmm. Oh, sweet.
Yeah. Dude. Huh. Anyway, I'm looking forward to you guys watching.
The Bad Batch in that, like, you know, the captain guy, like the
yes, the sniper guy, the big dude, the one that, yeah. So it's essentially that, like, it almost felt like they watched the season of Bad Batch and they're like, let's do that, but with Halo. Like, and that's not.
There was a Halo game like that, wasn't there? Where you were, it was like squad based. I forget what it was called.
Fall of Reach.
Yeah. That was similar to that.
Oh yeah, and I mean, I was such a nerd with Halo. Like, I read all the books and shit. So, they're taking liberties off of the book story, but essentially the idea is these super soldiers, they get kidnapped from their homes when they're like six. And they get experimented on. And right before puberty, they essentially go through this surgery, very Wolverine-esque, to have their bones have this like dense metal in it. And their muscle mass to increase, and it like makes them like bigger and things. But it has like a 12% success rate. So of all the kids that got kidnapped, like a fraction of them survive, and the fraction that survived, those are the Spartans. And so the suit that they wear, the Mjolnir, is a mechanical enhanced exoskeleton that enhances your movement. So it's, we'll call it, it multiplies your muscle capacity by 50. So they put a human in there in the test trials, and the human, like, he tried to like scratch his head and it ricocheted because of how like the muscle increase, it broke his arm. He fell to the floor and his spasms from the pain were killing him. Cause like he like broke his arm, then he fell, he broke his back, broke his leg. And so every time he was having the spasm. And so they fucking put this project to the side, but then we get attacked by aliens and the Spartans that have this like alloy. It was like a freak accident that was like, oh, this would work out So they ended up adjusting the Mjolnir armor for the Spartans, and then that's how the Spartans happened. Like, initially, they were designed to stop a civil war that was in the middle of process. And so this doctor made them, and yeah. So that's the long, drawn-out thing that the books were describing. But in this, it's not that. And they're fairly quick to introduce how it is in their world. Like, it's not super off of what I just said. A lot of the things are on par, but I'm curious to see like where they take it. Like, it doesn't make me angry though. Like, that's not how they did it in the books. Like, it's more of a like, oh, that's cool. Like, I'm interested in seeing this story.
We're kind of lucky they didn't do it in the 80s, where like they would just give it to Stallone and like there's that much story, but that much blood and that much,
right? Yeah,
throw in a hot chick and throw in a fucking the jealous best friend and. Well, make Brian Dennehy the bad guy, and then it would just be like,
this was supposed to be done 15 years ago. Like, it's been Punisher. In development hell forever.
The Punisher with Dolph Lundgren, like that. Like,
yeah,
that much story.
Steven Spielberg was initially signed for the project, but what I found interesting is he's still connected. Amblin.
Yeah, it's Amblin.
His studio is connected to it, but he didn't do it. But then they just kept passing it from director to director to where it's going to go. And so they ended up selling it to Showtime. And it still says Showtime Presents, but it's exclusive on Paramount Plus. Don't ask me how that happened, but yeah.
If it's a big boom, all those people that pass are going to be like, I'll be the next director for the next season.
Yeah, yeah, no shit.
Because it made money, so I'm down. Like, fuck you.
Well, what's his name was all about it. The dude that did District 9.
Neil Blomkamp.
He was all about it. He did a couple short like little 3-minute shorts of when Halo 3 was coming out, the marketing for it, they let him direct and he was doing the stuff and it was like the pre-movie thing, but then it fell into development hell again, but he already had a story, so he swapped out the characters, and that's how we got District 9, about the segregation of aliens and humans living together. And so you'll notice, well, fans of the Halo games will notice that a lot of the technology that they use looks very Halo inspired, because it was. He just altered his script because he's like, I'm fucking making this movie. Like, and then ended up blowing up, like did amazingly well. And then every movie that he's done since then has been a hit. So I know, lost opportunity, but I'm still excited. We'll see where this one goes. That's a lot of Halo talk. I apologize. Any other last thoughts on Halo before we move on?
No? Great. Other than GoldenEye, it's another great everybody play game. Like,
yeah,
it's one of those like, fuck, if it's not a Jackbox everybody play on your phone game, it's another shoot 'em up game where all four of us can play split screen, and it's not a lot of those anymore.
Yeah, you're not wrong. And Mario Kart, I think, is another one that everybody can just pick up and play.
Yeah, Mario Kart, those are great,
dude. They just released a DLC for Mario Kart, and Dana has been so hooked on it, like to the point where I'll be at work and I'll check my phone on my lunch break, and she'd be like, "Can we play Mario Kart when we get home?" I'm like, yeah, yes, we can.
Oh, yeah,
it's like for like $20, it's releasing 50 maps over the span of the rest of the year.
Yeah,
and so like two new races. So 8 maps total just came out, and one of them is like Paris. Yeah, it's super fun, right? And it's like mindless fun. It's like red shell, green shell, banana peel racing. Like, and it's, I'm fucking kicking ass, and then I get hit with 3 blue shells, and it's like, okay, I'm in last place now. Like,
yeah,
this game is fair. Like, you know, so it's good stuff. Comics Plays, Mario Kart.
I'm telling you, there's so many things we could do.
I know.
So especially with comic plays, we could do voiceovers with the actual characters and make it a skit. Boom.
All right, we need a script for that first. We're not doing this on the spot.
They do that with Dragon. Ah, fuck. I'm going into a long thing. But yeah, I can't think of the name.
Dragon Ball?
No. Where they do, it's a really big name, but it'll be like Batman talking to Superman, but it's like the video game talking to each other, and they just edit it. The
Robot Chicken?
No, it's out. Once I find it, I'll just cut this out.
Yes, sir. And then the
I can't think of it. That's Dorkly.
Oh, where they're doing that does that so amazingly. You ever seen Dorkly clips, Andres? It's done really well. They'll do like the Game Boy graphics of Pokemon, and it's like the two trainers like talking shit to each other, but it makes it look as if it's the game. Yeah, it's like they do the voice actor, but like they edit their like lip flaps and and they stuff. Edit
the flaps. We need to keep that.
The things that amuse you, my friend.
Makes me laugh.
And then moving on to actually the final item that we have to talk about, as far as the docket is concerned, is there was a, before I ask this question or before I make this statement, the Batman, are we all versed in it?
Good enough. Go ahead. You guys do it. It's already been ruined. I already said it doesn't get ruined, so it's okay.
No, that's true.
Oh, it starts March 24th, right? Like, it's already going to be streaming.
24th?
Streaming today?
Well, no. Today is March 24th.
April 24th.
Okay.
It's
That's a big difference.
The poster just came out.
I have a month, today? A month to catch it in the theater. I was like, I'm going to leave the show now and go watch it.
No. It was. It's next month. I was like, fuck, I just paid for it like 2 weeks ago. Like,
that's I got 30 days to get my ass to the theater is what you're telling me.
Yeah.
So they released the Joker deleted scene that they had from it. And for someone that hasn't seen the film, what did you think about it, Andres?
Not having context around it. I don't know. It looks kind of odd because it does look like the bubbling on the face looks kind of weird, where it would look more like Two-Face instead. But me not knowing the actor, I would be interesting to watch more of it. So
the Eternals, right?
Huh?
You saw the Eternals?
I did not.
Oh.
It's another movie I haven't seen yet.
I'm okay with not seeing it either. I haven't seen it, and I hear horrible
You'll
things.
You'll be okay.
That's what I've heard.
This is one movie that maybe, The Eternals is one movie that maybe they'll reference probably in the upcoming things, but it's like you don't have to watch it to like know the references. But his acting was good. The guy that's playing the Joker, I forget the actor's name, in Eternals, but I don't know about him as the Joker. Yeah. Anyway, I didn't see the deleted scene, so I don't know what it was to it or what there was to it.
Got it.
Was there much?
Not really. It's really short. The deleted scene was the Joker laughing. Well, he's not called the Joker yet. It's the guy before the Joker, but he's laughing at Bruce that he doesn't understand the psychopathic mind, essentially. And he's like, you don't get it. And he's just like laughing at him. And so then you see Robert Pattinson's Batman like look annoyed, like make a face like he was a fucking mistake to come here. Because the initial idea from what the director had said in a previous interview was that he was inspired by Silence of the Lambs of like, he's trying to profile. This is the second, the Joker being the first killer to contact him directly, the Batman. And so now the Riddler's contacting him directly. And he's like, so he's trying to get into the mind of the psychopath. So he goes to see, he's like, I defeated this guy that will be the Joker one day. He's like, so he's trying to profile him, and he's just like, he's not getting anything from him. He's just fucking Looney Tunes. And so I'm happy that they took it out of the film, because I feel that would have been all people would have talked about.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I felt like this was Riddler's time to shine, and right decision. But that's what the scene was. Ash, you saw the scene?
I did. You're absolutely right in that, like, fucking Joker, if not more popular, he's as absolutely popular as Batman. So somebody would have said, I wish I would have seen more Joker. Something would have said something. Or they would have, well, maybe we're gonna get a prequel when they caught him. As we were talking, I thought it would have been cool if there was something like if under the Red Hood, we did like a Red Hood story, and it was actually the helmet, him burning in the helmet that made it his smile.
Oh, yeah.
That kind of would have been cool. I thought the scene was okay. I don't know. I I feel like it just needs more. It needed more. That's probably why I felt it needed more of a backstory. Mm. I felt like Joaquin Phoenix didn't need to laugh every fucking scene for us to know it was the Joker, even when he was the Joker. And if you're going to give the guy a 2-minute scene, he's going to figure out a way to laugh in every part of it so you get that it's him. So maybe that also is a reason why. Because when he was talking to Riddler, he didn't laugh until, because he was making subtle little jokes, and then they laughed together, and then we got it.
Yeah.
In this 3-second scene, he was laughing almost every sentence. So it was kind of like, it's kind of better that they kept it out. Same ages, so it's kind of cool if they keep it like that, where if it is him, I'm not mad at what we're about to see.
Yeah.
It kind of does remind me of like when Joker has all his bandages and it's all like grotesque Joker.
Yeah.
But you're right in that it felt very Two-Face-ish, but I'm not going to judge it until, I like the crazy hair. I like the whatever. I don't know. It was right for them to take it out. I'll say. That scene would have left me wanting more, especially with you leaving it with him again. So it's better that that little part was him, and we're good.
I take that.
I think it's kind of, sorry, Luis, it's kind of like what you said before, right? Is we've gotten that story. We've gotten the Joker, several different reiterations of the Joker. So it was good to allude to him being present, right? Because he's such a big presence in the Batman universe. But the fact that we were able to focus on the Riddler in this movie, and it was about him, right? And but then there still was like, oh, but there's other people, you know, that are kind of a threat. And it didn't take away from the movie. So by what you guys are talking about the scene, right, I'm glad that the decision was made to take it out, because as you said, it would have been the talking point. It would have been like, well, what's next? What kind of movie is going to lead from them together, or like, you know, and at least in the way that it was left, the movie, there is a chance to have other villains. And I think that one of you had brought it up last time, that if we have other villains, like Joker can always be like a threat there, like, and you know, like kind of like pop in, do something, but then it's like somebody else's turn of, you know, to face off against Batman. I think I would like that a lot more. And if he was like the over looming presence in that universe.
1000% yes.
Two, it also gives, being that the Riddler and the truth is out there, him meeting the Joker can manipulate the Riddler into having a new goal. And it could be, instead of the Riddler and Two-Face, it could be them together, but not kind of like the way Joker and, Joker and Two-Face worked out. It's a separate storyline, but once I finish with you, I'm going on to Joker. But in this storyline, you know, once he finishes with the Riddler, with the manipulation and everything, then in the end, you're going to the Joker instead of, or that was vice versa, when he went to Two-Face and Joker. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I went English.
You know what I mean?
I am so rich.
All right, well, that takes us to the end of our episode for today, guys. Unless anybody have any final comments before we bid you all adieu for another week. And with that, guys, I just want to remind you, and Ash specifically wanted to remind you, that we are comics.
We are everywhere.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night.